Hello, world, and welcome to TYH. My name is Anglo, and with me I have Nikephoros Fokas.
Hello.
I want to take a moment of silence for Dr. King, because we need to remember him. So let's take 5 seconds to remember Dr. King. 3, 2, 1.
I really miss Elvis, too.
Yeah, the king. The king.
Long live the king.
But I hope you guys are having a good Martin Luther King Day. Actually, it won't be uploaded on Martin Luther King Day, but we are recording on Martin Luther King Day. And, of course, it's a good day to record because there's a holiday. So what are we going to do? Record a podcast, right?
Celebrate.
Oh, I spilled rubbing alcohol on my desk.
I think it's time for an intervention here.
Well, no, I was using it to clean some things. And then it fell. I don't drink out of it. Dude, I'm a teetotaler. How many times do I have to tell you? This does not count as alcohol.
Even though
it says isopropyl alcohol on it.
Please stop drinking isopropyl, Anglo.
Yeah.
It's not good for you.
You know, I think because it's Martin Luther King Day, I think we should talk about our Martin.
We should drink rubbing alcohol.
There's that, but we should also talk. I bet you he did that. But I don't know
if he was ever doing that broke nigga shit, like drinking rubbing alcohol.
Yeah, drinking mouthwash.
Yeah, nah. I think they were able to supply him with some classier booze than that.
Yeah, but Martin Luther King was known to be a hedonist, even though it's kind of odd because he's a Baptist preacher, right? You know. And he's actually a Baptist preacher who did not believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ, nor did he believe that in the virgin birth, which are core tenets of the Christian faith. So he wasn't even Christian.
Yeah, apparently that's what gets you the doctorate of theology, I guess.
Well, that is true, because I know that the theology schools are pretty paused.
I've come out with a huge breakthrough in theological research, and for my thesis, I will propose a research theory that Jesus Christ was not divine, and then all of the mentors and tutors and research associates at whatever university just clap it up, like, oh wow, how profound.
Yeah, they're the very intellectual kind of Christians a lot of the times, or the ones who study that in school, especially at normal universities, aren't really Christian. They're just, I don't even know what they're doing most of the time. You know, a lot of these theology people, they're just there to ruin things. It's like in the Anglican Church in England, you have priests who are atheists, literally, but they're Christian or Anglican. I don't know. That kind of stuff is really triggering to me.
Yeah, can we just stop doing that?
Yeah.
If you're like not going to believe in this, can you like stop making money for saying you do?
Yeah. Well, sometimes they don't even say they do. They just, I don't even know. They're just doing gay stuff, you know? I don't know. But anyways, I want to talk about your experiences with Martin Luther King Day in school, you know, because this is a podcast supposed to be about youth issues. So let's bring it around to that before we go on to the obvious topic of the Catholic kids in school getting harassed by the engine. But do you have any...
So,
was Martin Luther King Day celebrated? Was it a big deal for your school growing up?
I don't know if I would say it's a big deal. I mean, you have your typical curriculum of just talking about MLK every year. And sometimes there's like essays that you write. Mm-hmm. I guess those usually come in February, the Black History Month essay. But you know, MLK gets your Smithsonian presentation or History Channel documentary or what have you. Instead of having to do whatever lesson in class, you get to watch a video.
I'm having a big feeling of deja vu. I don't know if we talked about this last year, but we're going to still keep on going. But just in case, if we did, I don't remember. We'll keep on. We'll be
some new... I don't. The deja vu don't hit me on this one, but Again, these things all just sort of blend together. As they're so repetitive, and it's the same thing every year. So I guess that's quite fitting that you do feel deja vu.
That is true.
Because, you know, this is a core part of the cultural programming.
I remember doing a lot of essays and watching a lot of movies. Really, he was portrayed as a kind of a human god, if you will. Incapable of doing anything wrong. I remember one day on Martin Luther King Day, some kid got really sick. I don't know, I think he ate like the wrong food at the cafeteria, and he just barfed all over the classroom on Martin Luther King Day. I don't know if it was on the day, but we're like talking about it and celebrating him. Like, that's perfect. That's a good reaction, you know, to have on Martin Luther King Day, to throw up. Like the whole, like, some white kid just uses, you just barf. And it seemed like, I mean, because I was young, things are a little bit more exaggerated, your perceptions are, but it felt like he just doused the whole room and throw up, because it was that much. It was like it was like a hose. It was like a fire hose.
Damn.
That's my most fond, I guess you could say, Martin Luther King Day memory. Yeah. But I'm just trying to think how many times I have myself just analyzed that speech. Because we used to analyze it like in first grade, and then I even analyzed it in middle school, then high school, and even in college, in English classes, we analyzed that speech. You know, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's like it's supposed to be the best thing ever spoken. You know? I mean, how many...
I mean, we built that a huge monument to the guy.
I mean, how many English classes have I taken where we analyze that speech? I'm not even joking. College, high school, middle school, all the classes, we always talked about it. It's so weird.
We've erected a colossal statue of MLK for the speech in Washington, D.C. The significance that has been ascribed to that speech is something that all of our institutions embody and like idealize as something transcendently awesome, and in like the dictionary definition, that it's sort of like a, I don't know, founding myth.
Well, that I was going to bring up, he's our new founding father. He's the founding father of a new country that was born in that era. You know, he is our founding. That's, you know, we don't talk about real, I mean, a few times we talk about our founding fathers in kind of semi-mystical ways, but
sure,
the amount of respect and reverence we have for Martin Luther King, I think that is the spiritual founding father of the current state of things. I don't know.
Absolutely.
He's definitely everyone, even conservatives, maybe not all of them, they hold Martin Luther King in a higher esteem than the founding fathers. So have you noticed this as well? I mean, I don't know anyone who hates the guy.
Yeah, no, I can't say I've know anyone IRL. Well, I guess that I met IRL.
Yeah.
Just outside of our spheres that would say they hate MLK. My first introduction to MLK revision was actually one Dr. Ronald Paul.
Oh, Ronald Paul.
Yep. Good old Congressman Grandpa.
Yeah, the Grand Wizard Grandpa.
Yes, he was actually...
Ku Klux Klan.
He had detractors during his presidential campaigns for
his comments on this. Yeah,
yeah, he voted against making it a holiday.
Well, he's against the Civil Rights Act, if I remember, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And in a very principled libertarian way, but still, you could tell that from him being someone born in the 30s, that it's probably more than a principled libertarian thing.
Quite possibly.
Yeah. And I know he was... My first introduction to Ron Paul, not Martin Luther King, but Ron Paul, was through the movie Bruno that Sacha Baron Cohen made. But do you know that movie? You know what I'm talking about? Where Sasha,
yeah, I know the scene you're doing where he, like,
yeah, well,
he tries to, like, seduce Ron Paul in a hotel room, and he, you know, just does the whole, look at what I can do to these conservative politicians.
Yeah, but I, for those who don't know, you guys probably know who Sacha Baron Cohen is. He's that Jew who made the Borat movie, but he basically, he had one movie where, called Bruno, where he played this Austrian gay guy. And he puts his character, he acts as this character, and he goes into real life situations acting as this character. And in one of them, he interviewed Ron Paul and started making moves, on Ron Paul, you know, trying to hit on him. And I think he was touching his leg and stuff in a very sexual manner. And Ron Paul, like, freaked out, and it was supposed to show how homophobic and evil Ron Paul is, in a sense.
You know, how homophobic you become after somebody starts to sexually assault you.
Because one scene I remember after that, it was part of this whole Ron Paul thing. It was, there wasn't video, but it was just voice of him, because they didn't have the camera around. They only had a microphone, and he's like, this guy is queerer than the blazes, or whatever. I don't know what he said. Blazing, some old folks saying. He's queer as heck. And, you know, and that's supposed to show how bigoted he is. I mean, that's the intentions, pretty much.
All brought to you by our greatest ally.
Yeah, and what one scene, because I used to like Bruno, because I thought it was funny, because it was offensive, but I didn't, and Borat, I mean, I liked Borat and stuff, because I didn't know its intentions, but the funniest Bruno interview from the Ali G show, because that was another character from Sacha Baron Cohen, this is Bruno interviewed, it was interviewing people from like a gun show, and he's able to talk to one guy, and he says, what do you believe? I believe in keeping America away from the Jewish hands, the Jewish people. It was just funny. Yeah. It was just like a guy he was interviewing at a gun show, and that's what he said.
Sasha probably starts to get scared.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, shit, maybe I... you ought to think twice about how I go about this encounter.
Yeah. It was funny.
He's just too used to having his goyim dance for him when he sets the bait.
Well, it's because it was a gun show in Alabama, and of course the purpose was to show, look how backward Alabama is. Of course it's to show these people are rubes, they're idiots. I didn't realize that as a kid. Yeah. I just laughed because it was offensive on both ends. But I realized that the intention is you're supposed to laugh.
It's all one kosher sandwich.
I think his grandma was like friends with Franz Kafka.
That's interesting.
It's something like that. Interesting.
Kafka's actually produced Art of Value.
The only thing I read of Kafka was The Metamorphosis.
I mean, that's pretty much... the only thing of Kafka you should read read anything of his. I mean, you can read beyond that if you really like it, if you really like that sort of thematic subgenre, let's call it. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're willing to read anything, it's not a long read.
You can read it in one sitting. I read it when I was 17. I mean,
it's literally the first example of the Bugman trope as the Bugman.
The termite trope.
Well, no, that's another level of
interpretation
implication. Yeah. That isn't so clear in Metamorphosis, but it's, you know, one of the early critiques of the sort of corporate man, and he literally turns into a
bug,
ugly
creature bug.
Bug.
Thing. Yeah,
and
it's
this is his life now. He's this helpless bug that. Cannot do anything because he's lost his soul. He's been transformed by the modern workplace, and I guess Kafka understood that the closest analog to this is the insects and how they live.
Wait, was maybe I'm talking about the musician Adam Green. His grandma was friends with Kafka. Someone, maybe both. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I know nothing about Kafka's personal life and if he was a socialite or not. Who knows?
I don't think he was. I think he, I'm reading, some, I don't see it, anything on the Wikipedia. I think it might be Adam Green. But anyways, I don't think he was. Wasn't his fame mostly posthumous?
I think so.
Yeah, and that was like his only, he didn't really have a completed book ever. I know he has like The Trial and I think The Castle.
Yeah.
Das Schloss. Yeah, it was actually Adam Green. Sorry, got those confused. It's easy to do. But you remember the band The Moldy Peaches from Juno? The little folk band that made the music for Juno?
I didn't see that movie.
Oh, well, that's, he's a part of that band.
So that movie's like about some
teen getting pregnant.
Teen pregnancy that they end up keeping it.
I don't remember. It may have been. I liked it when I was young, when it came out. It kind of fit, you know, I was into indie music and stuff, so hey, I liked it. You know, when I saw
it. I just hate movies.
I don't like movies either. That's interesting. I think that's a generational thing. I think our generation, there is a...
We've had so much trash put out to us that we've just become so disenchanted with it.
I think a Gen Z thing is kind of like we're kind of post-movie in a way. I mean, I don't know if I'm considered...
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's entirely true, man. We're
post many things.
Lifeblood of this goddamned Netflix machine... Netflix, Amazon, independent production machine.
Mm-hmm.
And movie theaters are on the brink of insolvency and
yeah,
who goes they're shutting the down left and right. I mean, now you have to pay for a whole damn experience when you go to a movie.
Get that like $10 popcorn?
I don't eat the snacks, but like they just, you have these like reclining seats.
Yeah.
That are these big leather couch seats.
Butt massager. Wait, no. Never mind. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Toilet right in front of you so you don't have to leave. Turn it into infinite jest.
Yeah. The whole... I mean, they have to, like, upsell the whole experience of seeing a movie just so they can turn a profit off of however few people... show up to these things. I think I've talked about this before, but the last movie I saw was The Promise.
I promise you. I'm sorry, but I'm just thinking of the right words to say.
Unfortunately, that song did not fit with the rest of the movie.
That's a really good song, by the way.
It is. I like it.
That's. It came at the very end of the synth pop era, actually. It's not like a mid-80s song. It's actually a late 80s. I think it's like 89 it came out.
Yeah, it came out at the very end of Napoleon Dynamite, too.
Yeah, and that's... It's so good. Anyways, go on.
Yeah. But when I went to go see this movie, the whole... There wasn't, like, any options for seating but this, like, super comfy maxi recliner.
You just took a nap or something.
Yeah. I mean... The whole place,
let a nigga sleep.
Me and my friend, there was just one other person. And, I mean, I liked the movie well enough. I had some criticisms of it. I don't want to go into it again. But just the whole way that the market of going to the movies is changing, it shows it's on its deathbeds. And I know the boomer meme is... Oh, those millennials, they're killing X industry. You know, just lumping us in with millennials writ large, but that's just their trope, or I mean, that's just their meme for anyone who's not their kids, younger than their own kids, but that they've killed this industry with their market.
All this industry that has been used to brainwash generations is finally dying.
Yeah, but it's not getting any better because Netflix has supplanted it.
True.
and has
total
has made like a new kind of media consumption cycle.
Yeah, I remember I used to use Netflix to like watch documentaries like 5 years ago. What does it even do now? It's all these.
Do you have like a single normie friend who has never seen The Office?
No, everyone's seen that.
I know people who've seen it five times, the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I've seen it once.
I've never seen it at all.
It's kind of comfy sometimes.
And I think I said this like a few weeks ago, how like I feel worried that I'm missing out on these big cultural touchstones that people relate to pretty ubiquitously. But like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to watch a show five times. And honestly, if I don't absolutely love it, I don't want to watch all of it once. And that fact alone is going to be a that fact alone would be an independent cause of, I guess, at worst, alienation.
I mean, you're not living until you see The Office, that's for sure. one thing about The Office that can be said, I'm not saying it's based or anything. It's not, totally not, but it was made like 10 years ago. So there are some jokes in there that they have that wouldn't fly today. So it gives people kind of an excuse to laugh at things that they couldn't now. Like there's some kind of slight racial jokes, but yeah, it's overall, I don't know anyone who hasn't seen it besides you. And that's good. It's a sign of a good character, a good moral character that you have never seen it. I don't even think that, man.
I just think it's that I don't find it entertaining. And if there was something entertaining, I'd watch that. But there really isn't.
One thing I like
it's
to
not
watch
like,
is...
I'm some ascetic who's out there flagellating myself and... You know,
flagellating.
Myself with ashes.
You're not flagellating yourself, you're flagellating yourself. That's all you do.
No. No. It's just that this stuff does not appeal to me, and I think it's become so entrenched in the culture that there's really no other way to, I mean, avoid it. I mean, what group of people in our culture can say the same, that they don't find this stuff entertaining?
Muslims?
Yeah, but I don't want to hang out with Muslims. They should not be in our culture. That's just assuming the whole status quo is natural and proper. But maybe you're right. Maybe I will only find camaraderie amongst the Muslims.
And I guess our guys. Our
oh
guys.
Yeah, I mean that goes without saying. But I'm just thinking hypothetically, if I needed to go out there and find a niche, it would be
that's my favorite philosopher, by the way. Niche. He's so good. Nietzsche.
There's only like a very specific group of people who are into niche.
Yeah. It's very niche.
That's the joke.
I think The Office is the only show I've seen every episode of, and that was a long time ago when I saw all the episodes.
Did you generally like it?
Yeah, I liked it. It was comfy, you know? It wasn't too vulgar, you know? It was good. I liked it, to be honest. But, yeah, I've never seen, like, 24. Breaking Bad, I've never even seen a second of Breaking Bad. I just know it's about meth, and everyone likes it. I've never seen Game of Thrones. I don't know any of this stuff. I think it's something to do with our generation, perhaps. Because for me, my idea when I was a kid, it's like my family's watching TV. I could be on the computer playing games, or I could like be on E-Bomb's World or something. I could be on maybe when I'm get older, like 4chan or something. I could be doing that instead of just sitting there passively watching some stupid TV show. I think it is a generational thing.
Yeah, that does remind me that most of the things that I related to with people in high school were, was basically 4chan. I'm 4chan to your content.
Yeah, that's that exactly. That's just me. When I was, it's YouTube and stuff like that. That's all I knew. I didn't care about TV because think about it. YouTube was, I think, officially released in 2005, and we were very young then. We were very young, and so we really don't know of a world without YouTube. I do a little bit. I remember a few years before YouTube, but really, YouTube is, you know, that replaced my TV. At a very young age, starting in 2006, almost 2005. I don't know when I found it, but it was very early on, and I was very, very young. You know, so YouTube did replace TV for me for sure. So I was more interested, I guess, in content creators online than I was in like big time TV. So instead of like Jay Leno, what existed was PewDiePie. You know what I mean? Like that's what, you know, that's what I was raised around.
This is the good future.
Yeah. Mishima future.
We've unlocked the optimal ending.
Yeah. I didn't know. It's kind of cool how PewDiePie is still popular after all these years. That means,
yeah, no, it definitely is. And his popularity just still grows.
Yeah. Because what has it been, like, 7 years or something? Who knows? I don't even remember. I just always remember him being there. I remember Fred before him. He was the worst. I think he came out as gay. Fred was gay. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that Fred, the little faggot, was gay? Don't fret.
Yeah.
Fred's a fag. He's a homo. He's a sodomite. And I want to know what he sounds like when he hangs
out with
him. Fred
goes to hell.
Fred goes to a bathhouse.
Hi, everybody. My name's Fred. And here, the fisting guys. How are you?
I can't do the voice. That was the worst thing. He even had his own TV show.
It did spin off into a TV show.
Hey, at least he's rich, but he's gay and rich, so never mind.
Fred goes to the bathhouse, just starts off, it's like, OMG, I gotta go to the bathhouse. I'm so excited.
Fred.
It's, you know, it's the Westboro bathhouse. Where it's just the, you know, it's just the Westboro Baptist Church, and they're all screaming at him the whole time. And then he goes into one of his signature fits, and then screams and goes home and cries. Then that's the end of the episode.
Fred goes to Ken Boy's birthday party.
Oh God!
He must now. He's like in L.A. I think he does normal vlogs now.
He's still a YouTuber?
I think so. I mean, come on. You gotta milk that career. I think they all milk it. Maybe at one point they had a more normie, or they had maybe a gimmick, but now a lot of the ones that had a gimmick are just normal vloggers. And he probably talks about gay stuff or something. I don't know. Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, I don't keep track of Fred. I mean, that's not something I want to do in my life, is keep track of what Fred's doing. But I think he was the first YouTube mega star.
Yeah. He was one of them very early on in the days of YouTube.
And lo and behold, he was gay.
He's only 25.
I think she should be on this podcast.
Fred can tell us where he is.
Fred goes to Charlottesville. Yeah, Fred.
Fred becomes who he is. Fred.
Which is a very implicit indeed.
Last stand of implicit white YouTuber identity.
Yeah. You thought PewDiePie was based? Nah. Fred hanging out with Jack Donovan.
Oh, God.
Reading The Way of Men. Or at least he's a masculine man.
I'm not going to say at least anything.
No, I know. I was just kidding.
I'm just going to move on.
The argument's always like, well, he wrote a good book.
Like in middle school, that was when niggas was watching Fred.
Yeah, exactly. Fred.
And, you know, I actually remember there's this one girl who was...
Fredster.
Just a big fan of Fred videos and told me about them, said I should watch them. You know, I thought they were obnoxious.
Oh, they were the worst. I hated them.
It was,
bad. I mean, I bet you watching it now, it's even worse.
Didn't take that much time out of my day to see a whole video, and just so it would give me something I could bring up, like, oh, hey, I watched that video you said. Yeah, it's annoying. It sucks.
Who's that? There is the other people I remember is Smosh. I watched a few of those videos recently. Those are horrible.
Yeah, Smosh, that was another upstart, you know, just skit production.
It sucks. I mean, I'm sorry, but they're horrible. Those things they did sucked.
There's a reason we thought all of this was funny in middle school.
Yeah, middle school. It's horrible. I think they still do stuff. They all kind of have had, in a way, successful careers. Maybe they're not as famous as they used to be, or they're not the famous YouTubers like they used to be. They still, though, have kind of media careers and could live comfy lives in a way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have a larger entertainment resume than I do.
Oh, yeah. One thing I do remember...
show all potential talent agents my portfolio of podcasts.
Yeah, what podcasts have you been on?
I've done hours and hours of podcasting. I've had over 100 hours of podcasting experience. Wow. So you're quite the prolific producer. Let me hear some of your stuff.
Yeah, weekly for almost 2 years.
About that, you might not like what you hear.
Yeah.
Niche subject matter.
Yeah. I mean, we were breaking the mold because we got banned off of so many platforms. Because
we had to go underground for a bit, but we still retained a loyal audience.
Yeah. And we're loyal people. We will never stop until we get too old, I guess. Which might be coming soon. I don't know. I almost feel that. It's like... We're still in school, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think it'd be weird when we're out of school. We're going to be podcasters of the future. We are the future.
We are the youth after all.
Come on. I'm going to pat myself on the back. We're going to pat our backs together. We're kind of low-key on TRS or whatever. But we've been doing it for a long time. We're still pushing on. We're still trucking.
And we have our own style, too.
Yeah, we have our own style, which is called the good style.
That's what they call it.
Oh, wait. Wait, what's the dope mode? This is dope mode.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Nikkei sent me a picture of a newspaper article from an actual newspaper, which I haven't seen in years unless I go to the airport. So there's an actual newspaper, and it's just a picture, and it says honoring Dr. King, and it's this fat black girl, like, twerking.
She's, she's hitting the whip.
Yeah, she's doing the whip, and her shirt says dope mode on!
You know, she got her black girl magic honoring Dr. King. This is what Martin Luther King envisioned.
I saw someone at the grocery store today with a shirt that said that.
Really?
Yeah, Martin Luther King Day. She was like looking at tomatoes. I didn't know black people ate tomatoes.
Oh, you know, MLK Day is when dope mode goes on.
Yeah, this is dope mode.
Dope mode activated.
Yeah.
Turn my swag on. Got dope mode activated.
This is my swag off. This is my swag on.
Indeed. Honored you are, Dr. King.
Yeah.
No clearer legacy to be seen than this. This is all you need to know about the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Reverend activist, hero to the American Negro.
Yeah, dope mode.
I mean, how many more titles?
Do you have a pen with you that you're clicking on?
Always on. It's a flashlight.
Because what I'm saying, it's okay, it's not annoying me, but say dope mode. Click on.
Oh, dope mode. on.
Yeah, there you go.
So, other ways to honor Dr. MLK
is to wear a MAGA hat at a pro-life rally and get doxxed for no reason, literally. I've never been this angry. I mean, I know everyone's probably talking about it and has talked about it for the past few days, but I'm angry. That's all I'm going to say is that I'm very angry. You literally, this is the future, guys. Sorry, but it's the truth. All white people will kind of be persecuted to this extent, to be quite honest.
Will be drummed at.
You know, because these kids are literally doing nothing, and some freaking crazy Native American, some peaceful Native American just started just bopping on his drum, making a hot mixtape with his drum.
Like, so some people have come out and said, like, you know, this Native dude was, like, the real one being, like, antagonistic here.
Wasn't the black niggas?
And, like, I don't even agree with that. I think this guy is just senile. Because he's just some dude. His name is Nathan Phillips. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
He claims to be a Vietnam vet when mathematically, given his age, people have postulated that he would not have been old enough to see any combat in Vietnam or be a part of any deployment to the war. And here he is. He's just one of these people you see in DC, and I can tell you about all the other kinds of people like this I've encountered walking around the district, where he's just on his thing because he's old and he's sort of got dementia,
yeah,
or something like that.
He's demented. You know,
he's not in his right minds, and he's, you know, I don't know what he thinks he's doing, but he's just playing this. He's just banging this drum. And, you know, staring out into space, not looking at anybody.
And the kid smiles. Oh, crap. The world's
like,
done.
He's just looking through and above everybody as if, like, he was, like, talking to Jesus in the sky.
Yeah. Big sky man, talk to Jesus. Come, white man.
And he is, you know, he gets awkwardly close to this kid, and, you know, there's no confrontation that happens. Like, the guy does not have, like, an aggressive or serious look on his face. It's just an empty, blank stare, as if he were in a hall of mirrors, and he was just looking deep into the multiple reflections.
He's on a higher
cascading
level.
He's on his. He looks like he's on his own little planet.
He's on that drug. Was that peyote or something?
Yeah.
What's that Indian drug?
He just looks like he's completely dissociated from whatever's going on around him.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I'm not convinced that this dude was, like, trying to do a publicity stunt or, like, be hostile.
Yeah.
Or aggressive. I think he was just doing, like, you know, crazy old people things that happen in DC. And if you've been to DC and if you
never want
to
go there.
If you've lived around it, and you go there often, you know who I'm talking about. There are these people who will just do this weird these weird things. And it's because they are not they don't have the best mental hygiene. And because of that, they will be you will have encounters with them that break social norms like this one. That's what I think. Honestly, I think here's my hot take on it. I feel that this has to stem from such a quintessentially American fear of awkward or imperfect social interactions.
Oh, yeah.
That we have to respond with anger and outrage before we can just respond with you know, honest confusion. I think rather than saying, like, I don't understand what's going on here, people will jump to saying, this is an act of aggression.
Yeah.
Because it isn't socially normal for this thing to happen. But that doesn't mean it's aggression. It doesn't mean there's a confrontation going on. But I think we are so used to that being our default response to social faux pas or like awkward encounters that we just will, if we're looking at things from afar, we will project that anger and that animus to it. And there's also some political primers in this specific encounter that motivate such conclusions, like the MAGA hats, like,
yeah,
you know,
the whiteness,
old Indian Kentucky little white kid.
It's in Kentucky, so
pro-life Kentuckian Catholics, high school boys.
Well, Catholic is kind of out of place in Kentucky, to be honest.
There's Catholics there.
I know.
Scotch-Irish and Irish.
What? Scots-Irish, they're like Presbyterian, aren't they?
Well, that's just Scottish.
Well, Scots-Irish, don't that mean that you're like descended from the Protestants, I guess, colonizers of Ireland?
I don't know if they became Presbyterian in Ireland. I don't know.
Well, no, I think Scots-Irish.
I have my reasons for my pro-Republic bias, so I don't really care what sort of Protestantism occurs in the North. I just know that it shouldn't be there.
Scots-Irish are descendants of Ulster Scots and Anglo-Irish Protestant dissenters from Ireland.
So aren't people from Ulster and Anglican?
They're Presbyterian, I think. Yeah, it says Presbyterian.
Huh, okay. Learn something new every day.
Yep. Well, the Scots-Irish is kind of like the quintessential Southerner kind of.
Just normal Irish, regular Irish in Kentucky as well.
Oh, yeah.
Not the point.
Well, I think,
Yes, these factors, these demographic factors motivated the reasoning in people's mind that allowed them to just more readily project their hostile interpretation of this encounter. Whereas what I really think people should have taken a step back and, like, you know, I guess it's cliche, not jump to conclusions and maybe just start from the premise that this is just an awkward encounter and then work from there to say anything about it. Because
awkward turtle.
I've seen the video. I've seen a lot of different videos, and honestly, it just looks like it's an awkward encounter with old DC guy and teenagers in MAGA hats at the March for Life.
Yeah, that's it.
And now there's just the calls for the worst fates on these children, just like the same thing happened at Baraboo High School.
Yeah.
The little picture incident.
But I think this is even worse than that. It's these kids are literally doing nothing, existing.
Yeah, no.
And so it's like, hey guys, this is going to be the future. I'm sorry, but it's the truth.
See, for these people, just wearing the Make America Great Again hat is the same as having ambiguous gesticulations in your group photo.
Yeah.
And
I'm very mad at that fag didn't ambiguously gesticulate with the other people in that picture.
Yes, he was a
literal fag, I think, right?
He was in that awkward situation, wasn't he? He was having an awkward encounter that he did not pick up on the social cue to wave goodbye to high school.
Yeah.
The parallel in reaction demonstrates that you don't have to do anything if you just wear the hat.
Well, it's like that video and of that honestly, Mexican guy taunting them in the mall.
You can take the hat off. The hat doesn't have to be, as long as it's your skin,
yeah,
they'll react the same way.
Yeah, right now it's the MAGA hat, but they're just going to be saying, oh, crack it. Yeah, this is going to be
next time, it's just going to be a white guy or a white group of kids.
It'll be like a white guy on the bus, and he's like, he's on the bus! Everyone, a white guy's on the bus! Record it. Put it on Twitter.
honky on the bus.
Yeah, what is he doing? Or is he
now? I didn't never seen that before on this here bus.
Yeah, and I'm DC buses. I couldn't even imagine what it's like in DC.
On them, you don't take. I don't. I've never even like bothered to know if there's a DC bus route. You kidding me? I take the subway.
Eat fresh.
I like only ride the metro for public transportation.
Yeah,
in
DC. That's usually not. And I mean, I've never been to.
If there was a bus,
the Jew Coast.
I don't care to know about it. The buses you see in DC that stick out are the tour buses. Anything for like actual public transportation, that all you're paying to is get to another part of town. I don't even notice that.
DC divide and conquer. I'm glad I've never been to DC. Every school does that thing, the DC trip, right? Yeah, never been there. Glad I haven't. And it's like, I know nothing about that place. Besides, that's where government is.
You wouldn't go to DC, but would you go to CDs?
CDs?
CDs nuts!
Oh! I thought that was like a special like burger joint in DC. CDs. CDs.
Classic.
No, I like CDs better than vinyl, fight me. Because vinyl are so, they're so annoying to deal with. And I like weird music. I own stuff that's like not on, barely printed like 100 times or something. But still, it's annoying.
I only like spoken word on vinyl.
Yeah, me too.
I have a dream speech on vinyl.
But seriously, vinyl is so annoying. I'm sorry, but it's just a lot of work for the listen. I mean, maybe I'm being lazy, blah, 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 but I do like cassettes, though.
It's analog.
Cassettes are good because they're small. Yeah. I just think vinyl is just so big. It's glad we moved on, even though it's.
I played my Bauhaus cassette recently, and I discovered that it is haunted.
It is?
Very fittingly, it is haunted. I put that shit on my cassette deck, and if it wasn't the most bizarre thing I ever heard, not because I haven't heard the songs before, but just because it was so distorted on this cassette.
Oh, that probably sounded awesome.
Yeah, one of these days I'm going to record it. And the best part was I was driving in the woods at night while this is going on.
Yeah, I like that cassette sound when it gets all dirty. And I do like the analog sound better, but it's just a lot to deal with. But cassette is usually pretty easy for me because it's so small and portable. I have a cassette deck in my room for my grandpa. And they're usually pretty cheap. You can find them for real cheap. But vinyl is just so much work.
Oh, yeah. It is work, but it's cool to collect them because they're big and fun to look at.
Yeah, but that's the only thing I like about them. The sound, it sounds brilliant. It sounds good, but it's... They could, like, melt, you know, easily. Bend. I don't have to worry about that. Just go on YouTube and listen to the song in like 1080, the 144p.
Yeah. I'm actually excited for music news this week because apparently I'm supposed to be getting some new Vampire Weekend.
Vampire Weekend!
My,
Ezra Koenig!
The only New York Jew band that I really like.
There's a few I kind of like. Let me try to think. What's a New York Jew band I like? Some of the weird jazz like experiment. Oh, no, I don't even want to admit it. No one needs to know I like it. It's like, what are you? Like free jazz stuff I used to listen to, kind of.
What about imperialist jazz?
That's my favorite. But now I don't even really like jazz.
You don't like jazz?
No, I don't like jazz. Jazz Jennings definitely don't like that.
Oh, God.
One band that jazz. Like all my friends liked and I didn't like was Sonic Youth. They're a New York Jew band. I don't know if they're not even Jewish, I don't think, but they're a part of that kind of New York thing, you know. Sonic Youth never got into them.
Sonic Youth always shows up in my playlists, but like it's never always like it. One that I don't like.
Yeah, it's weird. Everyone I knew said, "Oh, you love Sonic Youth." I'm like, "No, I've tried them so many times."
Same here, dude. I just can't get into them.
It's like, "Oh, you like this like experimental no way stuff? You'll like this sort of the next progression, which is Sonic Youth." I'm like, "No, this sounds gay, dude. Sorry."
So, question remains, will you listen to the new Vampire Weekend?
No.
No, really?
Never liked them either.
Not even going to give it a chance.
No. The other Jew bands I'd give a chance before that. So many other ones.
Really? Wow.
I never liked Vampire. They were too mainstream for me, I got to admit.
Okay. Well, it's about 6 degrees here. And when it comes out and breaking out the salmon shorts.
Lox shorts?
The Lox shorts. Gonna put on a polo and think of warmer climes.
Actually, one Jew New York band that I really like and I still like to this day is Suicide. They were a late 70s, or actually kind of almost mid 70s. Actually, not synth pop. They didn't even exist then. It was just like weird, dark, crazy. It's really like the first kind of electronic group. It's very crazy. I think a lot of niggas whoomst like synth music might know that. I'm not sure. But they're very, very good. I think they're Jewish. I think they're both Jewish. I'm not sure.
Yes, there's the regrettability of enjoyable Jew music, but...
There was a time I kind of liked Lou Reed and the Velvet Underground, but I kind of grew out of that when I was like 15. But I still like Suicide. That's good. It's just so dark and minimal. It's amazing. Honestly, it's spooky, some of the songs. Though they're all spooky. Yeah. Some of the other songs kind of got beautiful near the end, but the first album, which I do have on vinyl, is really good. Really freaking good. America is killing its youth. Okay.
The truth there is stood the test of time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, smile the wrong way at Injun Joe, and you will be put to trial in the full court press until everyone starts to, like, tell the journalist that he is a liar and an overreactor, and you will watch how he recoils, and he will shrink back. And say, "I've been found out." Then he will put out his retraction. Say, "I was too quick to judge what happened in this video. It seems to be just youthful exuberance."
Who's that supposed to be?
"I'm sorry for calling for your expulsion." And,
are you doing William Pierce?
"This was irresponsible." No, this is just, you know, old, washed up journalist who's, you know, still trying to be ahead of the narrative and ditch the narrative when it expires.
"These kids going to the pro-life march find themselves in an epoch of time where the news media and Jew-run press will pounce on them and oppress them with the likes never seen even in the works of Orwell."
But my name is Anglo, and I hope you guys have fun with your Lox shorts while listening to Vampire Weekend. My name is Anglo. I hope you had a good day. I hope you have a good day or something. I don't know. Bye bye.
See ya.
See ya. Whatever.